And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show on a Football Friday, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now and welcome in Scott Hansen, who is the preeminent host of NFL Red Zone. I don't even think there's a close second. You could obviously catch it each and every Sunday afternoon. For more information on NFL Red Zone, visit NFL.com/Red Zone. Scott, it feels like football season when we hear your voice. How are you?
Zach, I'm doing well, and it's good to be back. Happy New Year, so to speak.
So how do you, like, just calm the nerves this week as you wait for the buildup when everyone waits for your introduction to basically welcome them into the NFL season on Sunday?
You know, the thing is, that's funny you ask that question, because I actually don't try to like, calm down the nerves. I want the excitement to build. Right before I joined you right here on this call, I texted my brother, and I said, Brian, I'm still so fired up after all these years. I'm in the middle of my Friday afternoon research, just grinding through my spreadsheets and the facts and the research notes and everything else like that, and I'm just like, let's go. I can't wait. So I don't even try and temper it. I just want to, you know, sublimate that, to use a good vocabulary word, into my preparation, so that Sunday we're ready to peak and we're ready to let you guys have the best viewing experience in the NFL.
So clearly, like you just said, this never gets old, but there's been a lot of movement in the broadcasting world this offseason. How much longer do you plan to do Red Zone, Scott?
Well, how much longer will it take for someone to offer me an Al Michaels, Joe Buck, Mike Tirico type salary? Then, you know, then things could change in a heartbeat. I'm kidding. I'm thrilled for all of my peers and colleagues in sports media that there seems to have been some great seats filled and shuffled. It'll sound a little bit different and look a little bit different on different nights of the week, but I'm thankful to still be at NFL Red Zone and be in that captain's chair for, you know, 7 hours of the best competition on earth.
I need you to take me to about 8 or 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. What type of food are you eating after that marathon of Red Zone?
Well, let's see. So the first thing I do, I leave the studio, and believe it or not, when I walk out of the studio, I do not even head to the men's room immediately. My bladder is so trained that I don't even need to feel the need to go after 7 hours of not using the facilities. But I'll drive home to my place here in Los Angeles. I pop up NBC Sunday Night Football. I'll be watching that game. I'll put on a couple highlight shows on my side monitors. I have 5 screens on my media wall here in my house. And then, let's see, this weekend, I usually go through a rotation, and it's whatever, you know, greasy, fatty, caloric meal I want to have, I allow myself on Sunday night. It usually rotates between, like, a good Italian pasta dish, Chinese.
Oh, thank you.
Burgers sometimes, Mexican sometimes. But, you know, I haven't decided exactly yet. However, I do like to polish off the end of the meal with Chubby Hubby Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Oh, now we're talking.
Vanilla caramel swirl with the chocolate-covered pretzels. So it's a little salty, a little sweet. Oh, that's the finishing touch. And by the way, I'm reminding myself as I say this out loud, I actually don't have a pint or two in my fridge. I need to...
You better go get it.
I got to go get it. Or if Ben or Jerry are listening and they want to hook your Red Zone boy up, I'm happy to receive it.
There's one thing you said that I absolutely love, that you devour Chinese food, because that's a big debate on this show. My emaciated producer, Hot Take Hickey, he looked at me like I had 13,000 heads last year when I told him, because I do the Sunday Eye on Football show on CBS Sports Radio for 8 hours, and afterwards I always get Chinese food because it's the perfect Sunday night football food.
It is. I think it's awesome. Now, depending on what your flavor is, what you like, if you like the spicy, if you like the noodles, if you like the rice, whatever protein you want to throw on it, I usually go for a little Kung Pao chicken.
Wow.
Sometimes Kung Pao chicken and shrimp. But then I also get, I usually like noodles, but I can also get some fried rice on the side.
Love it.
And then the key is, let's order a side of spring rolls.
Ooh,
and,
I like egg roll, but okay.
In a 4-pack. I'm not married. I don't have kids, so I'm living by myself. I eat the whole 4-pack of spring rolls. And this is, if you really want the gross details,
go ahead.
Some members of your audience will probably enjoy this. I'll bite the top of one of the spring rolls off, and then it's like, you know, it's got the little tube there. I pour soy sauce the middle of the spring roll so that I just get that pure saltiness that I just love with the fried, deep-fried crunchiness. Oh, man, you can't beat it. In fact, now I'm talking myself into going Chinese in week one here.
Well, now we know when you actually go to the bathroom after that meal, Scott. I think that's clear. Hey, you talked about your legendary bladder. You've only taken one bathroom break in the entire existence of the show. Is there any pressure, do you feel, to not go to the bathroom? Because now this has become a big national event.
Yeah, that's a good question because even Roger Goodell himself got a little bit intrigued, if not fascinated, by your boy Scotty's bladder integrity, let's call it. I was doing an interview with Roger. This is years ago. We were doing like kind of a state of the NFL interview on NFL Network, and we were both in the makeup room at the same time before we headed into the studio, and Roger leaned over to me. He goes, Scott, is it true you don't go to the bathroom for 7 hours? I'm like, Kamish, it's true. I don't. He goes, when you get to my age, you're not going to be able to do that. And I kind of laughed, and I was like, well, Roger, hopefully by the time I get there, medical science will have caught up to male anatomy, so to speak, and they'll have something that'll help me along. The answer is kind of yes. Like, I could take a bathroom break. It's not like I can't. It's I choose not to, and it's not to beat my chest over, I don't go to the bathroom for 7 hours. It's because if I left the studio, I still have my earpiece in my ear. It's a wireless, we call it an IFB, you know that, but it's the earpiece where I can hear all the games. I am convinced if I walk out that studio door, even for 2 minutes, to use the facilities, I'm convinced the greatest touchdown in the history of the NFL is going to happen, and I will not let myself miss that touchdown. So that's why I don't take a bathroom break. I don't want to miss a moment of NFL Red Zone.
It's actually funny you say that, because when I was working at NFL Radio, I would do the Monday night and Thursday night post-game show, and I went to the bathroom right before we got on air, and that was when Myles Garrett swung his helmet at Mason Rudolph, and I'm in the bathroom, and I'm getting all these alerts. Get back to the studio. Get back to the studio. And I missed it live.
Yeah. No, you can't. You'll never forget. Everyone says, you'll remember where you were the moment that, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. reached back and made one of the greatest one-handed catches in the history of the sport. Like, you'll always remember. But if there's something that really breaks and you're not there and you're like you and I,
you'll never forget
junkies about the sport and about serving our audiences, you'll never forget it, and you'll never let yourself live it down. So I don't want to put myself into that circumstance, and that's why I am just glued to the monitors for 7 straight hours.
Scott Hansen here with us. I know you saw the game last night. Bills absolutely dominated the L.A. Rams. Were you more impressed by the Bills or more concerned about the Rams?
Well, that's a good question. I was there in person, so I got to watch it just as a fan. There's very few games I get to actually go to and just enjoy it as a fan, but I'm more impressed with the Bills because to go on the road, that stadium was blazing hot. On the field level, it was about 100 degrees. The Bills Mafia traveled well, so I wouldn't even say it was a true road game. I mean, it was to their body clocks and, you know, flying across the country and all of that and the heat in the stadium. But Josh Allen lived up to, he had a couple of turnovers, but everything else was almost flawless in his game. And that Bills defense just devoured that Rams offensive line and befuddled Matt Stafford for most of the game. I was probably more impressed with the Bills, even if they were 90% of people's Super Bowl preseason favorite. The Rams will get it corrected. The Rams just ran up against a buzzsaw yesterday. So I would say I'm more surprised or pleased, if that's a word I can use, in terms of the great football that the Bills played in game one.
One of the games that you'll be covering right out of the chute on Sunday is going to be Baker Mayfield going up against his old team, Panthers and Browns.
Oh, yeah.
What do you expect from Baker? What type of Baker do we see on Sunday?
Well, here's a little behind the scenes of NFL Red Zone. So we've got 9 games in the early window this weekend, and we'll have our production meeting a couple hours before showtime, and we go through every matchup. 9 in the early window, 4 games in the late window. Here's what we're looking for. Here's things to keep an eye out for and all of this. Well, obviously, Baker and the revenge game and all that is one of them. In that meeting every week, we usually discuss where is our landing spot? So we'll go to the Octobox, right, to show you 8 of the 9 games that are going on across the National Football League. And then we say, well, where's the first one we're going to go to? Because, you know, if everyone kicks the ball through the end zone, everyone's all the offenses are starting on the 25-yard line, all things are kind of equal, where should we go to first? There'll probably be a couple people in our production meeting pounding the table for if Baker Mayfield and the Carolina Panthers get the ball first, we got to see Baker in that opening possession. But it's not an easy call because you're talking about Trey Lance could get the ball first in his first true, real – I mean, he had a couple starts last year. I get it. But he's got the keys to the franchise of the 49ers, who could be a Super Bowl contender this year. That would be a landing spot. Mitch Trubisky in his first drive with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a starter could be a landing spot. Joe Burrow and the reigning AFC champions could get the ball first. I mean, there's all sorts of places we could go to for our first possession. It might be Baker Mayfield. And certainly if he throws the ball on the first drive, you know, like a third and long or something, we're going to cut in and say, hey, here's his first throw as a Carolina Panther, you know. And then, of course, you'll see everything he does throughout the game, just as you will for – you know, hey, Trevor Lawrence in year two, or Joe Flacco taking over the Jets for a little while, Lamar Jackson not getting the long-term contract but trying to make another MVP season. And then, of course, the Patriots and the Dolphins is an early window game, a big game that will determine some jockeying order in a division this year. Oh, I mean, I can't if it doesn't sound obvious, Zach,
you're
I
excited.
Can't wait to get the 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday.
Scott Hansen here with us from Red Zone. You talked about the Pats and the Finns. That's such an interesting game to me because I don't know what New England's going to look like offensively, and the same could be said for the Dolphins.
Yeah, 100%. I expect big things out of the Dolphins. I got to go to that training camp for a day, got to see things for a little while, and look, like it or not, it is all on Tua Tagovailoa. It's all lined up for him right there, and if it's not this year, it might never be for him in Miami. And I really expect good things. Historically speaking, the Dolphins at home against the Patriots have had good success against the Belichick / Brady Patriots back in the day. It's going to be hot as blazes down there with the humidity. Now, Belichick took his team down there. They actually practiced for several practices down in Miami earlier to try and get acclimated to it. But I expect big things out of the Miami Dolphins offense this year. And even in their first half of their first game of 2022, I really do not know what to expect out of Mac Jones and the Patriots. I really do believe there's some fire to the smoke of shuffling the coaching staff the way that they have, not having clear understanding, at least outside of their walls, clear understanding of how the play calling dissemination will go. I think there are big questions about the Patriots offense going into the season.
Scott Hansen, two other games that I'm circling, Packers and Vikings, Chiefs and Cardinals. When I look at the Chiefs, everyone wonders what they're going to look like without Tyreek Hill. I think they'll be okay because they have Patrick Mahomes. And the same about the Packers. What are they going to be like without Davante Adams? I'm not that concerned because they have Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, think about this late window. Four games
it's a great
in the late window.
Window.
You got Giants at Titans. Nice game for a lot of different reasons. But think about these three matchups. Green Bay at Minnesota. That's week one. That's about as close as you can get to a division defining game in week one. The Vikings win that, people are going to say that the Vikings now have the inside track at the NFC North. The Packers win it, it's same old, just pencil Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in for the division title and a 1, 2, or 3 seed in the NFC. Then you've got Kansas City, Arizona, the two dynamic quarterbacking playmakers, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, both with issues on where was their star receiver from last year. Tyreek is out of Kansas City, obviously. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be watching on TV, suspended for Arizona. Then you've got the Raiders and the Chargers in the division of all divisions in football this year. The AFC West has a huge matchup right out the gate. Vegas at Los Angeles, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr. Obviously, Davante Adams making his Raiders debut, a delicious late window for us on NFL Red Zone.
I went with the Chargers to win the AFC West. How about you?
I'm going Chargers. In fact, if you want a dark horse AFC candidate for the Super Bowl, I think the Chargers could. If the Chargers had a little bit better of a home field advantage, we all saw on TV and heard on TV how sometimes SoFi Stadium with a Charger home game can get invaded by these teams fan bases that want to go to Los Angeles for a weekend, that want to see a game, and that there might be tickets available for them. Like, if the Chargers had a little bit better home field advantage, I would feel stronger about that pick. And if they didn't play in the AFC West, I would feel stronger about that. But I love the Chargers roster top to bottom. I love Brandon Staley and that coaching staff now with a couple years under their belt. I think they could be the team to beat in the division and maybe in the conference.
Two more for Scott Hansen before we let him run. Bucks Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. The big question, is this it for Tom Brady? Is this his final year? I've never predicted this before. I know people have been saying this for 10 years. I go, I'm not going to try to predict when he retires, but this year I finally get a feeling like this is it for TB12.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the tea leaves are there, but it is a fool's errand to try and determine when the greatest quarterback of all time is going to do something or not do something. Because if I would have gone back 5 years ago and give you the stats that he had this last season, you know, second in the MVP race and leading the league in passing and what, like, it's insane. So, you know, could he find some new zest or some renewed zest by midseason or late season or next February when he's making his decision again? I wouldn't put it past him. But if you said, Scott, you got to say yes or no, I'd probably be with you and say, yeah, I think this is Tom's last year, because I really do think that he really didn't mean it for a little while during the 40-day retirement that he had early in the offseason. But man, it's going to be fun to watch, because the Bucks in what a lot of people think is the lesser of the two conferences, the Bucks are going to be right in the thick of things again in the NFC.
Will Lamar Jackson end up getting that contract extension with the Ravens, or are he going to try to go play somewhere else?
Man, it's crazy. I was really disappointed to not hear the news, because I want great things for great players, and you got to think that the Ravens had an offer on the table that had to be in the 150 million plus guaranteed neighborhood. The last couple of big quarterback contracts had 160 something, but of course the Deshaun Watson contract kind of threw the market kind of askew. So I was really disappointed that they didn't come to an agreement. And you hope that he doesn't have any type of injuries this year. And then it sounds like the Ravens will be able to rattle the saber of a franchise tag for not only next year, but maybe for the next 2 years. We're not going to cry for him. He's by the end of this year, he will have made about $40 million in the NFL. It's not like it's that his life isn't going to be nice without a $200 million contract. I don't know. I can't answer that. If how well does he play this year? Does he get injured this year? Everything could change for him in the next 5 months.
Last thing I'll ask you, Scott Hansen, because you're so warm, you're so friendly on the air, you make people want to tune in, you're so exciting in your delivery. I've always wondered this, all the years you've been doing this, what's your favorite moment on Red Zone?
Oh, man. I mean, at risk of sounding like, you know, I'm a parrot for Tom Brady, my favorite moment or my favorite show is the next one. And when I come out of the gate and the staff and I come out of the gate, in week one here, and we hit that first Octobox, it's going to be like, you know, the end of 2001, A Space Odyssey, the Stanley Kubrick movie. It's like you see a vision, you see the stars, you see the universe in its totality. And I can't wait to rock and roll come 1 o'clock on Sunday.
You know his voice. He is Scott Hansen, the host of NFL Red Zone, which airs every Sunday afternoon. For more information on NFL Red Zone, visit NFL.com/Red Zone. Scott, have a great season. We appreciate it.
Zach, enjoy the year. We'll see you on Sunday, pal.
There's Scott Hansen. This is the Zach Gelb Show. We'll take a timeout. Come on back after these short messages.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
How about that? You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Football season could start. Scott Hansen just joined us for 20 minutes. He always brings it right before the start of the season, and I can't wait to see his beautiful face on Sunday. But Hickey, do you know why I love that interview maybe more than any other interview we've ever done? And we've done some massive interviews on this very fine network called CBS Sports Radio.
Because he's high in the Dolphins, and that is pain for your Patriots week one.
You.
Scott Hansen, preach, baby. Mike McDaniel, your boy, taking it to Bill. That's what I think you love the most.
We are looking for a new producer here at CBS Sports Radio. If you want to send in an application to be the Zach Gilb Show producer, just please call 855-212-4CBS or email david.mayernick@odyssey.com. And you could send in your application to be the next producer of the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
No, that's not why. You know, you really are a son of a bitch.
Oh, Mike McDaniel.
Shut up.
The media darling already has some space in your head.
No.
As you're wearing your Patriots polo today.
My favorite part of that interview was because last year, because you think you have all these good food takes, and your food takes are horrible. But last year, you looked at me as if I was the biggest moron on the planet when I said my favorite meal on a Sunday night in football season, after 8 hours when I'm hosting Eye on Football, is Chinese food. And you said, Chinese food? What are you doing? Who eats Chinese food on a football Sunday? And I looked around the newsroom and I said, who looks like he knows how to eat in this newsroom? And I saw Big Ed Arzuman. And Big Zoo, as they call him, goes, all I asked him was, Big Zoo. Didn't even mislead him anyway. Didn't even guide him in the direction that I wanted to. I just knew. I looked at Big Zoo and I said, this guy eats Chinese food on a football Sunday. And I said to Big Zoo, what's the best meal? Go-to meal, football Sunday, right before Sunday Night Football. He goes, bro, Chinese food. And Hickey was mortified. Scott Hansen, impromptu. Just simple question. Hey, what are you ordering on a football Sunday? He's going through everything. And he goes, you know what? Chinese food. And Hickey's face went right into the board. Now, you would agree, Scott Hansen is one of the best people that works for the National Football League. You don't have a negative thing to say about Scott Hansen.
I used to think up until about 15 minutes ago. That's a bad job by Scott. He listed
a lot of good food. You are the idiot. You've
Italian
had three people.
Pasta?
Stop. You've had three people now tell you, myself, Big Zoo, and Scott Hansen. No one says a negative word about the guy.
Well, that's about to change.
And you still will not at least try Chinese food on a football Sunday.
Well, first of all, I don't have to try it. I've had Chinese food plenty of times. So
but
like,
on
what
a
am I
football
trying?
Sunday, it's different. When you sit down on Sunday night and you get some fried rice, you get General Tso's chicken, you order an egg roll, get a little wonton soup, get some spare ribs. It's different on a Sunday night, right when you get NBC. Bum, bum, bada, bum, bum, bada, 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 bum. And then I devour the Chinese food. Duck sauce all over the place. Football Sunday. Sunday night football. You have to get Chinese food. Scott Hansen just approved it. He said by coming on the show, he's going to order Chinese food on Sunday night. And you're telling me you don't like Chinese food on Sunday night in football season. What are you eating on a Sunday night?
I don't know, actually. I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Tell me what you're eating.
I have no clue.
This is going to be like Jack Bauer.
You better
start giving me answers right now or your fingers are going.
I would like to make, I'd probably go for some Mexican. Some like burritos. I would definitely go for that, actually. So maybe we'll do burritos, actually. I'll do what just Scott Hansen did. He talked himself into Chinese. And I'll talk myself into making some homemade burritos.
Now, I'm going to do something that I think I'm going to regret. Because just like you, Emmanuel Babari is tall, but he's skinny.
That's not doing anything.
So I don't know if I could trust a skinny guy when it comes to food. Like you Scott could. Hansen, he's got some muscle to him. Emmanuel is like a string bean. When we get to
string bean.
Sunday night football and right. Sunday night football season, are you in or out on Chinese food?
I'm not out. I'm actually a big Chinese food guy.
Okay.
Like it's one of my go-to
this is
meals.
Good. Don't mess it up.
I just don't think it coincides with Sunday night football.
Oh!
Thank you, Emmanuel. That's where I am. I like Chinese food.
I love Chinese. That's the thing.
I don't put Chinese food and football together in one.
I am wildly above average on the Chinese food front. Loving it.
What?
But Sunday night football.
See, it's something with you tall, skinny people. That's what it is. I'm going to call Child Protective Services because you guys were abused as children by not having Chinese food on Sunday night during football
season. I'm not judging you, by the way.
My uncle, after we would sit there like fat slobs watching the Patriots, where they would have a delicious meat and cheese platter. You get all your typical football Sunday food in right away, like at 6:45. Get the order in, then they bring it an hour later. You sit down for Sunday night football. You get the well-done spare ribs. You get, obviously, some fried rice, the General So's, chicken and broccoli. You get all that lo mein. You guys don't do that on a Sunday night in football season.
What's the preferred order?
I just gave it to you.
But that's every time?
Yeah.
I could see it.
Well, when you have a large group of people.
Right. It's just not my preference for a Sunday night football game.
So what
game.
Are you eating? What's your boring Sunday night meal?
I'm probably not eating anything at that stage of the day.
Stop.
I'm eating before Sunday night football.
What am I doing here? Who am I arguing? I have this guy who doesn't know what the heck he's eating.
You feast for the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock, and then by 8 o'clock.
It's an all-day feast. It's an now I sound like Mraz. I usually advocate for somewhat healthy eating.
Mraz would be going crazy here.
But Mraz at least has the right mentality where you wake up, food, middle of the day, food, afternoon, food, and then you top it off on Sunday night with Chinese food. And I had Scott Hansen on this show, Hot Take Hickey, putting you in a body bag and you're still having your heels dug in deep over your jackassery. Shame on you.
Now, out of spite, I'm not ordering this year.
You suck.
Week 18 weeks of football, zero Chinese food orders.
Hey, Emmanuel, you want to be the next producer here at CBS Sports Radio? Only qualification. You have to eat Chinese food.
You just heard him say no. He's out.
I can't do that to my man, Hickey.
Oh, my God. Now Hickey has friends around here.
We stand in solidarity, Emmanuel.
Hickey's a well-respected man in this building.
Oh, please.
Wow, I didn't pay him to say that either.
Well-respected by whom? Just you?
You hear good things about Hickey all the time. Who doesn't like Ryan Hickey?
Yeah, because Hickey just doesn't really, he just saves his opinions for the Hot Take Hickey Hour, 3 a.m. Eastern time on CBS Sports Radio, Friday into Saturday.
Then you slowly and slowly build that rep.
Then he becomes a jackass. That's when he becomes a jackass. But the 23 other hours out of a day, nice, prim, proper, polite.
Right.
But you turn him on at 3 a.m. Eastern time, spewing hot takes left and right.
What am I doing right now then? Just prim and proper? You know, my normal self, I would agree. Just a normal guy spitting out some good takes.
I think that's pretty prim.
I just put myself in a Stephen A. Smith situation.
Right,
Emmanuel? Where I just said that the Chargers are going to have the most points, and then I'm going to pick the Raiders. Yeah, also from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, you're spewing hot takes as well.
Saving that, always right, outside of the 3 a.m. Eastern hour. Good to know.
The 4 o'clock window for this Sunday, which I call the appetizer window before we have our Chinese food. The Giants in Tennessee, forget about it. But how about these three other games, Hot Take Hickey? Green Bay at Minnesota, Kansas City at Arizona, Raiders at the Chargers. How are we going on these games? I think Minnesota's going to win this week.
You know, I'm going to go with the contrarian view here. And Parks, I think a lot of people are on your side. Picking the Vikings have been a popular pick, getting a lot of momentum.
Who's picking the Vikings?
I think there's a lot of momentum building towards Minnesota getting a week one upset. Just say week one upset. Not winning the division, but winning this game. Even now, Alan Lazard looks like he's going to be out. I will say Aaron Rodgers, kind of similar to last year in Arizona. We had no wide receivers and pulled a rabbit out of a hat. I think he'll do that again week one.
Wait, say the Arizona point again?
Remember last year, COVID, like every wide receiver was out for that game against the Cardinals. Packers, Cardinals, and they somehow won that game.
I thought you were talking week one. I'm like, week one, the Packers got destroyed by the Saints.
They got killed. But kind of similar where they have no wide receivers going into this game, I will say Aaron Rodgers does it again.
Okay. Game number two, Kansas City, Arizona. I think this game will be closer than what people think, but I'm going Kansas City.
Closer. I will say 10-point victory for the Chiefs.
So you're laying the six and a half points for Kansas City. Yeah, Kansas City's kind of like Alabama in terms of when you bet them.
It's a good point.
Anytime you bet, like, for not that it's a 20-point spread, but in Alabama, Texas, it is a 20-point spread. You feel almost like you have to just lay the points with Alabama. And if in here in Kansas City, if I plus the 6 points with Arizona, yeah, that's what you call a stay-away game.
That's fair. Tough number.
But I do think Kansas City's going to win. Now, the Raiders and the Chargers, where are you going on this one?
I'm going to go the Chargers.
Can you imagine the takes after this?
Oh, they're going to be hot.
If the Raiders win, AFC West champions. If the Chargers win, Chargers could challenge the Bills for the Super Bowl. But on the other side, the Raiders lose. I don't think it's too many overreactions, but if the Chargers lose, I then think the Chargers get a little bit of a bit of lambasting on Monday.
Out of the four options you just mentioned, I think the Chargers losing would draw the strongest reaction of the four.
Ooh. I would disagree.
Okay. What would you say?
Green Bay, because of Rodgers with no wide receivers, I think would be, if they lose, would draw the bigger reaction.
Okay.
And Kansas City, too. It's just so low-hanging fruit. And there's more passionate fans for the Packers in Kansas City than it is for the Los Angeles Chargers. They're still trying to find some fans. Because you have no more Devontae Adams, no more Tyreek Hill. Either those quarterbacks lose, it's up. They're not going to be as good.
Well, so are they on the street like looking for, you said they're trying to get some fans. Are they on the street like giving out Chargers tickets?
Like, I'm begging you to eat Chinese food on Sunday night. That's the Chargers.
Here's season tickets. Please, please come to our games.
You know the guys like afterwards, you walk out of the stadium, they try to buy your ticket stubs or they try to buy whatever the giveaway was and they hold the signs like $5 for your ticket stubs. That's Austin Eckler, like, standing outside the game. Please come in and support us. Please root for us with the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll do onside, offside next.
Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace, offering everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Extensive options, ease of selection, and flexibility at your fingertips help make sure your time is wonderfully spent. Viator is the place to go to book experiences that will create long-lasting moments that make lifetime memories. And Viator has over 300,000 bookable experiences to choose from in over 190 countries. In fact, just last year, Viator helped my family put together this amazing adventure on the island of Kona, swimming with the manta rays, trying to avoid the barracudas, whatever your wildest dreams. If you can imagine it, Viator probably has an experience just for you. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in Viator's world of wonderful experiences. Viator, one site, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers, the international series, and every postseason game. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot that likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Hot take, Icky. Go ahead. What do you got for me?
The Ravens today announced that they and Lamar Jackson did not agree on a contract extension, meaning Lamar will play the 2022 season on the fifth-year option. Earlier this offseason, Baltimore did blame the former league MVP for not wanting to come to the table when it came to contract extension talks before Lamar did start negotiating over the summer. Onside or offside, Zach, Lamar Jackson will never sign a contract extension with the Ravens.
He wasn't happy the night of the draft. A few weeks ago, he liked that photo of him in a Dolphins uniform. They don't get a deal done now. I think this will really get determined this offseason. If he's on the franchise tag for next season, I don't think they're going to get a deal done, even though they could franchise tag him again. So I'm going to lean on the side here of that they're not going to get a deal done. And maybe Lamar wants to go somewhere else. So I'll go on sides here.
Odell Beckham Jr.'s services have been in hot demand so far this offseason. Now, despite an ACL injury that should keep him out till about November, many contending teams have wanted his services. OBJ was on the sidelines for Thursday's Bills-Rams game.
Did you see, by the way, the Rams had to send a notice to the league that he was on an official visit since he's a free agent so he could actually go to the game?
I had no idea pro teams had official visits. I thought it was only a college thing.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's like a one-off situation where that would never really happen, but...
Like, there's no tampering or anything. Like, to me, it's just so bizarre that he's a free agent.
Visit.
Shows up to the stadium. He's on an official visit. Odell Beckham, Louisiana State University. He was here.
He was there. And he did joke, by the way, that the winner of that game is the team he'll sign with. Well, he did
Sorry, the Bills did win the game. He did not sign with the Bills, but Buffalo did come out right now 1-0. Onsides or offsides? Odell Beckham Jr. will become a member of the Bills.
I think so. I'm going onsides here. If I'm him, why wouldn't you want to join the Bills? The only reason is you're not the main wide receiver in that offense, but go on that team with Josh Allen, who's a superstar. You have Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis is going to score 10 touchdowns this year. You got Dawson Knox. Yeah, I would go join Buffalo, and he would love the fans there. For a one-year deal, and that's what I think it would be, I would go attach and really hitch my wagon to the Buffalo Bills this year.
Coming off an incredible victory over Utah last week, number 12 Florida hosts number 20 Kentucky. The Wildcats come in with highly regarded quarterback Will Levis, who did help Big Blue Nation shock number 10 Florida last year in Lexington. Now, the other side, Gator quarterback Anthony Richardson, made a huge statement last week. He accounted for 3 rushing touchdowns and that upset win over the Utes. Now, heading to Saturday, the Gators at home are favored by 6 points. Onsides or offsides, Florida will beat Kentucky.
Come on, baby, let the good times roll. I should have probably have elected to sing that, but that's just not the way that it went down. I'm going Florida over Kentucky. I love this Kentucky program. Other than the Mark Stoops-Calipari fight, I've loved Mark Stoops. Big fan of Will Levis. But I'm liking this Gators team. I think this Gators team could be the third best team in the SEC. This is an enormous, and I mean an enormous test for them, just to see the way that you have still something to prove even after beating a very good Utah team that at the time was 7th in the nation. I'm buying into the hype of Anthony Richardson. Give me the Gators this weekend in the Swamp. Also, the Kentucky running back Robinson is out once again. I'm going with the Gators. Give me the Gators onsides. They'll beat Kentucky.
Gators will beat Kentucky. All right. Another great matchup on Saturday. We feature number 9 Baylor traveling to Provo. Take on number 21 BYU. The Cougars, though, are coming in shorthanded as 2 of their best wide receivers, Puka Nacua and Gunnar Romney, will miss the game. Now, going back to last year, the Bears dominated this matchup, especially on the defensive end. They limited BYU to 67 rushing yards for the game. Onsides or offsides, Zach? BYU, despite down their 2 best receivers, will beat Baylor.
Puka Nacua could be one of the best names in college football. General Booty is also up there, Josh Booty's nephew. I'm going with Dave Aranda and the Baylor Bears. I think losing both those wide receivers for the game, Nacua got hurt last week, and Romney was out for last week as well, and now he's going to be out this week. I think that's going to come back to bite them. I like Blake Shapen a lot, the quarterback at Baylor. And you mentioned the defense. That Aranda defense is just so tough. These could be 2 of the more underrated coaches in the country. Dave Aranda, and then also Kalani Sitake. We also talked about Mark Stoops. I think he's underrated as well. But I'm going with the defending Big 12 champs, Baylor, to go to Provo and get the victory up against BYU. So BYU will be Baylor. Offside.
Offside.
And finally, MLB approved a few new rule changes for the 2023 season. Some of them include a 15-second pitch clock when runners aren't on base that goes to 20 seconds when there are runners on base. They have banned the shift, which now means 2 infielders on each side, feet on the diamond, so you can't be in the outfield anymore. And they also are enlarging the bases. The new rule changes are also aimed at, speeding up the game while also adding more action. Pickoffs will also be limited in order to help promote more stolen bases.
What is that, 2 a batter?
2 a batter, yes, sir. And if you do a third, you have to get him out or it is a balk. So it's kind of, you know, at your own risk,
it's
at your own peril. If you go for a third pickoff within the batter and you don't get him out.
It's a balk.
It's a balk.
Okay.
Runner moves over to second or third or maybe even home. Onsides or offsides, Zach, you like the new rule changes.
If you would ask me this about 3 weeks ago, I'd probably say no. I do. You don't need more than 2 throwovers. And the shift is good because we need more contact in baseball instead of home run or strikeout. I know you could say, oh, well, Zach, the ball's still going to the same place, but has a better chance of dropping if the shift is not aligned. So I'm on board with these rule changes. I will go onsides. 855-212-4CBS. Let me squeeze in David in Buffalo. He's been waiting patiently. David, go ahead.
What's up, Zach? How are you tonight, man?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a football Friday. We got football tomorrow. We got football on Sunday. And I know you're excited because the Buffalo Bills opened up a can of whoop-ass last night on the defending world champs.
What a game, man. I mean, all I can say is Josh Allen is a superstar. He's the best quarterback in the league, and Von Miller has given this defense a swagger and an edge that they desperately needed. They were a good defense, but not a great defense, and Von Miller takes them to the next level. And I think if they have any kind of running game, this team is going to be unstoppable, man. I loved the game last night. Great to win on the road like that, and it's a great time to be a Bills fan. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
You got it. Thanks so much. And also, they didn't play their best brand of football and still beat the team that won it all last year by 21 points. So you got some things to work on. But, yeah, bringing in Von Miller could pay off to be the best offseason move that was made over the last few months. Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's great. This is not me dumping on Josh Allen today. But until someone says goodbye to TB12 and he walks away from this career, I would still go with Tom Brady. Rodgers has won the last two MVPs, so he's definitely in the conversation. Mahomes, you got to have Allen beat Mahomes in a playoff game. I know last year wasn't Allen's fault. So this is just some of the guys. He's in my top five. I'd probably rank him four right now. But if he goes and wins the Super Bowl this year, he'll definitely then. Now, here's a hot take. Josh Allen next year will definitely be in the top 10 of the top 100 list in the NFL. It was a joke that he wasn't this year. We'll give you a thought on each and every game when we return in 5 minutes. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.